Welcome to your daily briefing, September the 9th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today of your word. We thank you for the indications that you've given us long in advance, so that we would see and understand the things that are taking place around us. We ask that you would continue to fill us with understanding, that our lives might be directed by you and away from the distractions of this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'd like to share with you from a book called Our Authorized Bible Vindicated. It's written by a man called Benjamin G. Wilkinson. He's a PhD. But before I read from that book, I'd like to read for you 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, and we're going to go through to verse 4. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of the Christ is at hand. Now that's the verse that I want to zero in on today, because, you know, you've probably been reading this for years, but the significance of what Paul is warning about here is something that we probably have overlooked. Notice how that verse runs. It says, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. In other words, what he's saying is, do not be deceived by some letter with our signature on it, if it does not comply with the word of God that we have presented to you. And that is emphasized in the following verse, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he is as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now what Paul is warning about here is incredible. And I want to really emphasize this before we get to the book. Notice what he's saying. Do not be shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us. In other words, the concept of deception here that Paul is warning against can either come by word or by attitudes or by even a letter. A forged letter. And then in verse 3, he says, let no man deceive you by any means. Now that chapter, the whole chapter, is worth your reading, but I just thought I would share those few verses with you before I begin to read from the book, Our Authorized Bible Vindicated, which was published back in June 1930. That's June 1930. As I said before, it was written by Benjamin D. Wilkinson. He was the Dean of Theology at Washington Missionary College. Now, you probably need a little history on that college. Washington Adventist University was established in 1904 by the Seventh-day Adventist Church as Washington Training College. That was the original name. In 1907, it was renamed Washington Foreign Missionary Seminary. And in 1914, it was renamed as Washington Missionary College. By 1961, it was renamed as Columbia Union College. And of course, and also in 2009. So in other words, the man who's writing this book is the Dean of Theology at the Adventist University in Washington, D.C. The address is still Tacoma Park, Washington, D.C. Our authorized Bible vindicated. Now listen to what he says here. When Paul was warned of the coming apostasy, he aroused the Thessalonians not to be soon shaken or troubled in spirit by letter as from us. And then what he does here is he quotes 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 2, which we read just now. And he says, it would have been bold at any time to write a letter to a church and sign it with the apostle's name. But how daring must have been that iniquity which would commit that forgery even while the apostle was yet alive. Even in Paul's day, the apostasy was built on lawless acts. Now he continues to write, saying, later in his labors, Paul specifically pointed out three ways in which the apostasy was working. Number one, by exalting man's knowledge above the Bible. Number two, by spiritualizing the scripture away. And lastly, number three, by substituting philosophy for revelation. Now, all of this is very incredible, and I thought I would share this with you today because in connection with everything else that we have been studying, we need to understand the deception that Satan has put in place and how long he has put this in place. So long that Paul, back in his day, was warning the Thessalonians, all of the people to whom he had written, he had been warning concerning being deceived. All right, let's continue. On page 8, and we're reading from our authorized version, Vindicated. The roads which lead to Rome are very numerous. Another road, less frequented and less obvious, but not less dangerous, is the road of the philosophical. There's a strong affinity between the speculative system of development, according to which everything that is true and rational, and the Roman idea of a self-evolving, infallible church. No one can read the exhibitions of the church and the theology written even by Protestants under the influence of the speculative philosophy without seeing that little more than a change of terminology is required to turn such philosophy into Romanism. In other words, he's saying if you read some of their documents clearly, you realize that there has been a real shift away from truth. Many distinguished men have already in Germany passed by this bridge of philosophical skepticism to the Romish church. A distinct class of the Romanizing portion of the Church of England belongs to this philosophical category. And then he continues to write concerning the spiritualizing of the scriptures away. Here's what he says. The next outstanding phase of the coming apostasy is the spiritualizing of scriptures away. And that is predicted by the apostles. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 16 and 18 says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is this man and that other man, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So in other words, he's saying, be careful about the spiritualization of the scriptures and of the changing and interpretation of the word. Now that is in 2 Timothy. Continuing the article, it says this. The Bible teaches the resurrection as a future event. One way these prominent teachers, full of vanity, could say that it was in the past was to teach, as some of their descendants do today, that the resurrection is a spiritual process which takes place at conversion. The prediction of the apostle was fulfilled in a great system of Bible spiritualizing or mystifying which subverted the primitive faith. So notice what the apostle back then is doing. He's warning about the misinterpretation of scripture. And what we need to be warned of today is the same kind of error. And this is why 2 Thessalonians warns us about being deceived by any man or being shaken away from the truth. The next thing that the writer of this article mentions here is the substituting of philosophy for scripture. Here's what he says. The third way in which the apostasy came was predicted by the apostle thus, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." The philosophy condemned in this passage is not the philosophy found in the sacred word, but the philosophy which is after the tradition of men. Even before the days of Christ, the very existence of the Jewish religion was threatened by intellectual leaders of the Jews who were carried away with the subtleties and glamour of pagan philosophy. This same temptress quickly ensnared multitudes who bore the name of Christian. Greek philosophy exercised the greatest influence not only on the Christian mode of thought, but also through that on the institution of the church. In the completed church, we find again the philosophic schools. The great enemies of the infant Christian church, therefore, were not found in the triumphant heathenism which filled the world, but in the rising flood of heresy which, under the name of Christianity, engulfed the truth for many years. This is what brought on the Dark Ages. This rising flood, as we shall see, had multiplied in abundance copies of the scriptures with bewildering changes in verses and passages within 100 years after the death of John. Now, I hope you got that. Now, that warning that Paul gives to the Thessalonians concerning being guarded against error and not be shaken by faked letters and faked truth, all of that is played out by many changes to the actual word of God about just 100 years after the death of John. Continuing the article, it says, "As Irenaeus said concerning Marcion the Gnostic, wherefore also Marcion and his followers have betaken themselves to mutilate the scriptures, not acknowledging some books at all, and curtailing the gospel according to Luke and the epistles of Paul. They assert that these alone are authentic, which they have themselves shortened." So notice what Irenaeus is saying. He's saying that Marcion, one of these very well-respected philosophers, took the word of God, messed around with it, took some of the gospels out, and placed some of their own thinking in, and claimed that only the epistles, certain epistles of Paul, were legitimate. Now, this is a warning that you and I need to understand, and I thought that I would start here today because we've gotten to the place in our lives where we need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. And we need to understand that Satan is coming against the people of God, not only physically, not only with persecution, not only with the passing of laws to determine when we should worship and what day we should worship on, but Satan is also attempting to adjust the word of God in such a way that we do not understand with clarity all that God is saying. Remember that statement that was made in Revelation chapter 12, that the earth opened up itself and provided a place for the woman that would have been the true church and to swallow up the flood? Some of the flood that Satan sent after the true church of God is the multiplication of the word of God in all kinds of revisionary and very, very light-hearted and watered-down versions of scripture that today fill the entire Christian world. And if you and I are not careful, if we are not aware of the word of God and understand clearly what it is God is saying to us, we will ultimately overlook some of the important things that are found in God's word. Continuing to look at this book that I'm reading from today, or Authorized Bible Vindicated, here is what Wilkinson says. Anyone who is interested enough to read the vast volume of literature on this subject will agree that down through the centuries, there were only two streams of manuscripts, and he's talking now about the Bible. The first stream, which carried the received texts in Hebrews and Greek, began with the apostolic churches, and reappearing at intervals down the Christian era among enlightened believers, was protected by the wisdom and scholarship of the pure church in her different phases, by such as the church at Pella in Palestine, where Christians fled when in 70 AD the Romans destroyed Jerusalem by the Syrian church of Antioch. The first stream appears with very little change in the Protestant Bibles of many languages and in English. In that Bible known as the King James Version, the one which has been in use for 300 years in the English-speaking world, these manuscripts have in agreement with them by far the vast majority of numbers. So vast is this majority that the enemies of the received texts admit that 19, 20th, and some 99 one-hundredths of all Greek manuscripts are of this class, while 100% of the Hebrews are of the received text. However, the second stream is a small one of very few manuscripts. In Greek, the Vatican manuscript, or Codex B, in the library at Rome, and the Syntax, and the Codex Alpha, its brother, has been very effective in diluting the Word of God and creating a subversion of the truth. So the present controversy between the King James Version in English and the modern versions in the same old contest found out between the early church and the rival sects, later between the Waldenses and the Papists from the 4th to the 13th century, and later still between the Reformers and the Jesuits in the 16th century. In his later years, the Apostle Paul spent more time in preparing the churches for the great future apostasy than in pushing the work farther on. He foresaw that this apostasy would arise in the West. Therefore, he spent years laboring to anchor the Gentile churches of Europe to the churches of Judea. The Jewish Christians had back of them 1,500 years of training. Throughout the centuries, God had so molded the Jewish mind that it grasped the idea of sin, of an invisible Godhead, of man's serious condition, of the need of a divine Redeemer. But throughout these same centuries, the Gentile world had sunk lower and lower in frivolity, heathenism, and debauchery. It is worthy of notice that the Apostle Paul wrote practically all of his epistles to the Gentile churches, to Corinth, to Rome, to Philippi, etc. He wrote almost no letters to the Jewish Christians. Therefore, the great burden of his closing days was to anchor the Gentile churches of Europe to the Christian churches of Judea. In fact, it was to secure this end that he ultimately lost his life. St. Paul did his best to maintain his friendship and alliance with the Jerusalem church. To put himself right with them, he traveled up to Jerusalem when fresh fields and splendid prospects were opening up for him in the West. For this purpose, he submitted to several days' restraint and attendance in the temple, and the results vindicated his determination. Now, one of the reasons why I'm reading this to you at all is that I want you to understand the importance of what Paul is warning about here. The assault upon the Word of God. The versions that we have today that omit so very important portions of scripture that change words and sentences so that they come out with an entirely different meaning. You and I need to understand that this is something that Paul warned about then, and it is something that you and I need to be warned about today. We will continue to take a look at this in the future, but I want you to know this is a serious matter. Very, very serious. And your understanding of truth, your embracing of the truth, must be rooted and grounded in your study of God's word. Not just a physical or a basic hypothetical reading of something that someone places before you, but carefully studying and comparing text with text, making sure that you have a clear understanding of what is being said, making sure that you know what it is you believe, why you believe it, and where you can find it. Because Satan has left nothing, nothing untouched. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the warnings that you give. We thank you for the blessings that we receive day by day. And as we begin this series, we ask, Lord, that you would continue to give us an understanding of the truth that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your Daily Briefing, September the 9th, 2020.